You know, this is the third week of Advent, and today we focus on joy. And joy is coming. Amen? Joy can be coming in your life if you trust Jesus. And so the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, brings a joy that transcends all our circumstances. There was a great announcement that happened about this joy, this coming joy. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, "But the angel reassured them. He said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" That message is still for you today. There is great joy when you know Jesus Christ. The angel's proclamation to the shepherds heralds the arrival of the Savior, and it brings the good news of great joy for all humanity. He will be the source of unspeakable joy. We sang this morning, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "You will show me the way." Show me the way. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The psalmist here, it recognizes that true joy is found in the presence of God. Amen. True joy is found in the presence of God. The birth of Jesus, it really opens the way for us to experience this joy that's unprecedented. We can rejoice in salvation. Amen? Can you rejoice today because you have a Savior? You have Jesus in your life. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says this, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Amen. That's a great message in it. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Man, what's that mean to you this morning in your life? Are you drawing from Jesus today? The well that never runs dry? The Spirit that's overflowing is available to every one of us here this morning. Not just to us that here this morning, to everyone in the world that will receive Christ into their life. Because He said, "I came for not just some, right? I came for all. I died for all." The arrival of Jesus marks the beginning of our salvation, and it's a cause for rejoicing and drawing deeper towards that fountain of salvation. So this third Advent candle, it symbolizes that the joy that radiates from the Savior and His arrival. And that, you know, this is about something that happened 2,000 years ago, but yet it's something that happens every day in somebody's life. The arrival of Jesus. A new birth. Think about that. It was a new beginning for me when I got saved, right? The arrival. Jesus arrived in my heart. I was a babe in Christ. There's joy in His divine presence. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love, and He will rejoice over you with singing." Man, such a beautiful scripture. Because God's presence brings joy in your life. Amen? Beyond measure. It's beyond comprehension. That promise of God dwelling among His people is a cause for rejoicing as His love casts out fear. Takes fear away. So what are you afraid of this morning? Joy is not contingent on favorable circumstances. Instead, it thrives. It thrives in the midst of challenges that we face every day. Because let me tell you, you live in this world, you're going to face challenges. You live in this world, you're going to have trials. You live in this world, there's going to be pain and heartache. But in the middle of all that, Jesus says, I'll give you joy in your heart. I'll show my love through you in your circumstances. And we are recipients of that joy, the joy of our salvation, and we're called to share that joy with others. Amen? Sometimes we're not so good at that. Every time I think about joy, I think about Granny Clampett. I don't know about you, but I grew up watching the Beverly Hillbillies. All right? Every day after school, you know, you only had three choices, 3, 6, and 12. That was it. And in one of those, they had reruns of the Beverly Hillbillies. And I remember one episode, Granny had gotten into the special sauce, I think. What did she call it? I'm trying to think. Huh? Yeah. The remedy medicine. Yeah. And she was dancing. I mean, she was marching around. I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Every time I think of joy, I think of that. Of course, that joy that she had that day come from something else. But you know, that's exactly that special remedy is Jesus in your life. Man, we can all have that joy in our life if we just trust God. We become that recipient of joy. The Great Commission, it really invites us, and not just invites us, but it really commands us to share that joy. It says we share that joy that you have. Why would you want to, what's the scripture say? Why would you want to hide it under a bush? Why would you want to bury it in the ground and hide it? Why wouldn't you want to multiply it and share it with everyone? You can't keep it to yourself. Man, if you've got joy in your life, it just comes out. You can't keep it in, right? It's like it's got to come out. The third Advent candle reminds us that the joy of the Savior's arrival is not a one-time celebration, but an ongoing source of strength and inspiration in your life. You just don't kneel one time or say a little prayer and say, that's it. Man, you get up every day, like Paul said, I die out every day, and I just rely on Jesus today to get me through today. And then when I get up in the morning, I'll get back down on my knees and I'll cry out to Him and I'll rely on Jesus every day, day after day. So may the joy of the Savior's arrival be not just a seasonal emotion in your life, but a constant companion in your life. So as we navigate all through this season, and I say season because our life is a season. And it's filled with all these challenges. And as we face those challenges, let the joy found in Christ be your strength. And let us be the joy bearers to this world, to bring the good news of Jesus and His salvation to a world that's really desperate for it. People need to hear about Jesus. It's a lasting happiness, isn't it? It's not temporary, again, like the special remedy or drugs or all kinds of other things that people fall into today. It's a culture, this culture, it often, I mean it does, it seeks joy in temporary pleasures. But we have to let our lives, this world needs to see people that thrive in rough times and challenging situations. They thrive with joy in their heart because they know Jesus. And people say, man, how do you do this? And Trey says, because I know Jesus is how I can do this. Sarah says, it's because I know Jesus is how I can do this. Because my circumstances doesn't take my joy away. So we're going to light the candles. Candle of peace and candle of hope and the candle of joy. Amen. So as the angel stood and he said, good news of great joy. It's a joy that can't be silenced either. Amen? It just comes out. So many times every December, people are focused on happiness and lights. And Mark's favorite thing, tinsel. And songs and food and presents. We like presents, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. But happiness, you know, it's fragile too, isn't it? And happiness fades. And sometimes we struggle with happiness. When the decorations come down and the reality returns. Sometimes we don't take the decorations down until about, you know, right before Easter. But joy, however, in Christ, real eternal joy, it's unshakable, it's unspeakable, and it remains when happiness dries up. And joy is not just in the mood swings that we have. Joy is not a personality type. Joy is not just pretending everything is fine either. Joy is unshakable, unbreakable, and it is that reality that God gives us. Amen? So I bring you good news. A good news for good people. The angel didn't come to announce a reward for good. They declared good news of great joy for people drowning in sin and drowning in darkness and fear and confusion. And good news of great joy for sinners, for strugglers, for the broken, and for people like us. That's who He came for. Joy has come to the broken. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 11. Says this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to my people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Savior has been born, the Lord. He's been born in Bethlehem in the city of David. You know, the shepherds in that first century, and they were really kind of the social outcasts of the time. They weren't considered, they were considered unclean. And they, most of them weren't even allowed to even go into the temple because of who they were. And they were humble These humble, dirty, unclean, despised, and ignored, yet they received heaven's first Christmas invitation that day. He went to them. And the angel declared the word, this or phrase, good news in the Greek, this angelion is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus. The good news of Jesus. And great joy, that kara, or another word you might hear is a charis. And this is not just a mediocre happiness or a calm happiness. It's a joyous, delightful happiness with rejoicing. Amen? How do you feel like? Do you feel like that? Amen? Do you feel that way when you come to church? Are you excited about coming to church? Excited about seeing babies and eating food? Right? Man, when Trey walked through the door, good grief, it was all over. He's a little... Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But that's wonderful. That calm, that happiness, that peace, right? We look at these little babies and we see peace for right now. Trey has peace for right now. But we know when a couple months, 6 months, 8 months... There'll be great joy in the house. You know, but joy rooted is not circumstantial, but it's God's grace to us. It's great joy for all people, including us right here today. Man, I hope you have that great joy in your heart. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. That prophecy was given 700 years before Jesus' birth. And Jesus is that light of the world. And he brings the joy that breaks into our darkest days. Joy really begins when life is perfect? No. You know, most people come to know Jesus at their darkest and lowest point in their life. They don't come on mountaintop experiences. They come when they're broken hearted. And they know they're looking for something and they couldn't find it until they get to their lowest place. And then just like the prodigal son, they come to their senses. Max Lucado wrote this. He said, Jesus came not for the good, but for the confused. And I think that's so true in this culture we live in today. Because there's just so many people confused out there right now. And they're broken. And they have pain in their life. And they're just looking for something to take that pain away. And they need Jesus. And they need a church. They need people. Not necessarily just the church now. The church is not just this building, right? The church is you and I out there every day in this world showing Jesus to everyone. That's the church. This building could be destroyed. That's why Jesus told his disciples. This building, really, it could be destroyed. And that doesn't hurt the church. Because the church is not the building. Church is those who love Jesus Christ and are overflowing with joy and hope and peace that are willing to share it with everyone that they meet. That joy, to me, is overwhelming. And it's an overwhelming truth. And joy is the realization that God knows everything about us and still loves us. You know that? He knows everything about you. You can hide it from me and you can hide it from everybody else, but you can't hide it from God. Joy. There was this thing I read. talks about a terrified sailor in a violent storm. Once he wrote this, he said, I could not see the harbor. I could not see the shore. But I saw the lighthouse, and I knew I was not lost. Isn't that a beautiful saying? Sometimes that's our life right there. Jesus is our heavenly lighthouse, and that joy shining through terror, terrible times in our life sometimes. Even when the waves of life are crashing around and we seem to look for joy. But God has left something for us, and that Savior Jesus is in our life, and it changes everything. So we find joy that flows from abiding in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 9 and 11, it says, I have loved you as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Man, I love that. Advent, joy is not just seasonal feeling again. It's a relational reality. And Jesus says, remain in my love. Continue. That word there in the Greek, that meno, it means to stay or to continue, to dwell, to make your home there. That's what that phrase means. That one word. It's interesting to me. I like to use Greek words. When you look at the definitions, it just makes it mean more. Joy isn't found in success or popularity or comfort. Joy is found in Jesus himself. And Jesus doesn't offer seasonal joy. He offers joy every day. Amen? It's not temporary. Jesus doesn't give joy like a gift that can be lost or broken. It doesn't fail. Amen? His joy doesn't fail. Joy is not about what's under the Christmas tree. It's about what hung on the tree. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. I read that again with this translation. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Joy is not a place. Joy is not even really a feeling. Joy is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The world can break your heart, but it cannot break your joy when your joy is in Jesus himself. Another poem that I read, it's called The Branch That Tried to Produce Fruit Alone. It goes like this. A branch once snapped from the vine and tried desperately to produce grapes. It failed. It shriveled and was lifeless. But once it was reattached, life surged through it again. Then in spite of its brokenness, fruit appeared. To me, perfect statement. Remaining in the vine, without Jesus, we cannot bear fruit. We're not created to do it all on our own. We're not created to live disconnected. And if we abide in Jesus, you will overflow with joy. We can have joy in the storms, and not joy after the storm, but joy in the storm. Hear me? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 7 says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evidence to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving present in request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul wrote that from prison, in chains. Chains on his wrists, yet joy in his heart. He wasn't waiting for release. He wasn't rejoicing because he just got out of prison. He was rejoicing while he was in prison. Just like when he was with Silas and they were beaten and they were put in the bottom of the prison in the deepest place. And yet, what were they doing? They were praising God. Rejoice. To celebrate. To be glad continually, regardless of your circumstances. Joy when life is good, but also joy when life is not so good. Like when the doctor calls and gives you a bad report, or when your job is overwhelming and you don't think you can stay there another moment, or when school is overwhelming and you don't think you can go the next day, and when the tears of tragedy fall in your life. And let me tell you, things can happen in an instant, can't it? How do we find joy in all that? By placing everything into God's hands through prayer with thanksgiving and trusting in our Lord and Savior. And that's where we get a great gift, the greatest gift of all, in the gift of peace and hope and even love, like we'll talk about next week. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't let life get to you. Joy says, I trust God even enough to obey Him. And that's joy, trusting God enough to obey when we know the outcome is not so good or just unclear. How many of us have prayed when we didn't know what was going to happen, but we prayed anyway? And that's what he, and that's all he asks. That's trusting. And so today we find joy in the person of Jesus, which is not seen. And it's not a season. Christmas joy didn't begin in a manger. It began in heaven. Did you know that? Where the eternal Son of God said, Yes, I'll go. And He came for the broken. And He gave His life for all humanity. It's not a temporary emotion. It's an eternal salvation of joy. He came not on an accident. Jesus was born to die for our sins. He was laid in a feeding trough because one day He would become the bread of life. He lived among sinners so we could live with God. He experienced rejection so we might be accepted. He suffered the shame of the cross, and He carried our sins, and He suffered the punishment we deserve, and He died the death we deserve so we could live He was buried in a tomb, but death couldn't hold him. Amen. He rose again on the third day, conquering sin and death and hell. And without Jesus, joy does not exist. With Jesus, joy is eternal in our life. Joy is alive because Jesus is alive. Amen. Man, I could quit right here. But I want to encourage you today, go and rejoice in the joy of Jesus. And I can ask you this morning, if you don't have joy in your life, just seek Jesus. Just seek Jesus. Just turn from the sin and the self and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and Messiah. Trust in His love. And let me tell you, His love's enough. Abide in Him every day. Remain in Him, and He will remain in you. Amen? He will fill you to overflowing. And I will say, stop letting the world drain your joy. Steve Green. I was at a conference, and Steve Green said something that I'll never forget. He said, "This world will kick the faith right out of you." And that stuck with me, and I'll never forget it, because he was so right. If you let this world will trample you into the ground. It will take every bit of joy from you, and it will leave you broken and miserable. That's why we need each other. That's why we need Jesus most of all. That's why God's given us a family of believers to love one another, to serve one another, to sacrifice our lives for one another. And there's no greater love than for one to lay down their life for another.